Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. An accident in Creston at around 9:30 a.m. Thursday happened because a driver wasn't paying attention. According to Creston Police, 47-year-old Brian Edward Nelson of Blockton was cited for failure to obey a traffic control device. After the 2012 Ford F-150 he was driving went through a red light and struck a car driven by 19-year-old Keegan Eugene Armstrong of Fontenelle. The accident happened at the intersection of Adams and Sumner Streets in Creston. Damage from the collision amounted to an estimated $1,500. Nelson told the police he had the red light and just was not paying attention. One person was taken into custody following a burglary in progress Wednesday in Minden. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that deputies had responded to 32065 335th Street just before noon on Wednesday. Following an investigation, they located 45-year-old Gregory Richard Chaplin of Council Bluffs and placed him under arrest at around 1:12 p.m. He faces charges that include burglary in the third degree and criminal trespass. Pike County deputies also report the arrest of 41-year-old Matthew Malnick of Honey Creek. That took place around 7 p.m. Wednesday. Malnick was arrested for a domestic abuse assault by allegedly impeding the airway of his 41-year-old wife. And 32-year-old Paula Petrozica of Council Bluffs was arrested early Thursday morning for theft in the fifth degree and driving while barred. Petrozica was found to be operating a pickup truck that had stolen license plates that were mounted on both the front and back of that vehicle. A man has been accused of using a cattle prod to discipline his two children in South Central Iowa. Court records say 36-year-old Travis Coker of Rural Swan, which is in Marion County, pleaded not guilty Thursday to two counts of felony child endangerment causing injury. The records don't show a trial date yet. Criminal complaints say the girls reported that Coker used the prod to shock them as a form of discipline. Marion County Sheriff Jason Sandholt said the 11 and 13-year-old girls weren't doing their chores fast enough on the family farm, so Coker decided to use the prod, a handheld rod that delivers an electric shock to control livestock. The court records also say Coker and his wife corroborated the girls' statements. A biodiesel tax incentive was left out of the latest congressional tax reform bill, but senators are working separate legislation to extend the credit. Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and John Thune of South Dakota are leading the effort. Grant Kimberly, executive director of the Iowa Biodiesel Board, says he hopes they'll offer the bill before 2018 arrives.
Senators were given assurances that there'd be tax extenders added to some of the end-of-the-year budget bills that have to go through here later on this year, by the end of the year, the early part of the beginning of next year. So that's what we're working on, and hopefully that will happen.
He says it's disappointing Congress keeps waiting until the end of the year to make decisions on much-needed tax incentives like the biodiesel credit.
We've had, a lot of growth and have had success, but it's been difficult, though, because we've had years where the credit is on again, off again. I think it's been six out of the last 9 years we've had it expire and then be reinstated. So it's hard to make business investments when you have this on again, off again incentive.
Kimberly says the measure the senators are putting together would make the biodiesel incentive a credit for producers rather than blenders.
The reason being is that we've seen significant volumes of imported biodiesel also come into the country, and it just makes good policy sense to make sure that these kinds of credits really go towards domestic production.
Kimberly says the senators believe trying to move the biodiesel tax incentive in a separate measure is better than holding it up in amendments that could have been stripped from the overall tax reform legislation. The Republican leader in the Iowa Senate says legislators should make eliminating the state income tax a big picture goal. In the meantime, Bill Dix says lawmakers should cut taxes and cut state spending next year.
As a state, we need to challenge ourselves in how much it costs to run state government.
Kansas lawmakers dramatically cut state income taxes in 2012 and 2013, but Dix says that experiment failed because officials in Kansas did not make deep enough cuts in that state's budget.
We have to redouble our efforts to really reanalyze what our priorities are and how we use your money and what impact that has on the overall economy and growth.
Seven U.S. states do not have an income tax, and Dix says the economy in neighboring South Dakota is booming because there's no income tax in South Dakota.
The other 11 Midwestern states have all seen a loss in the last decade of wealth, real wealth, in their states.
And Dix made his comments during a forum sponsored by the Iowa Chamber Alliance, a group that represents the state's largest chambers of commerce. Critics of eliminating the state income tax altogether say Iowans will wind up paying more in other forms of taxes. Texas residents do not pay an income tax, but they face steep property taxes, for example. In Washington State, residents don't have an income tax, but that state's gas tax is the highest in the country, and they also require staff on hand to pump your gas into your car for you. You can't do it for yourself. Well, the U.S. Marshals Service is warning Iowans about an expected boost in telephone scams during the holiday season. Supervisory Deputy Marshal William Iverson in the Omaha office says con artists will claim you've missed jury duty or broken some other form of law, and they'll go to the extra mile to make you think it's a legitimate call, giving badge numbers and the names of real federal agents.
The callers sound very official. With the threat of arrest and confinement, people naturally get concerned and act probably more quickly than normal.
They'll also likely spoof their phone number, so caller ID screens makes it appear to be a call from a governmental agency. They'll likely offer to let you pay your bogus fine right there over the phone.
The Marshal Service would never collect fines via credit or debit card, so that should be your first sign that something is not legitimate.
They'll also never ask for bank routing numbers in order to wire money or to purchase a gift card. Iverson said if you get that type of call, just hang up.
It is the holiday season, and we're concerned about people losing money, so if you do receive a call that's suspicious, take a second, think about it. If it doesn't seem legitimate, it's probably not.
If there's a chance you actually did miss jury duty, you can contact your nearest courthouse directly. A Davenport elementary teacher has pleaded guilty to receiving and distributing child pornography. Michael Ross entered the plea Thursday in U.S. District Court in Davenport. He'll face up to 20 years in prison at a sentencing on April 9th. Investigators say they found hundreds of images and videos on Ross's computer, laptop, and smartphone. The Davenport Community School District says Ross was hired in August of 2013 and had worked at the Buchanan and Wilson Elementary Schools. An Iowa teenager testified at his mother's murder trial that she forced him and his two sisters to sleep on their bedroom floor in their own waste for months, and that she refused to feed one sister in the days before she starved to death. The Des Moines Register reports that 16-year-old told Polk County jury on Wednesday that his sister Natalie had become too weak to get up to eat, but their mother told her that she wouldn't help her. Nicole Finn was charged with murder, kidnapping, and child endangerment after Natalie Finn died in October 2016 at the age of 16. She's also accused of abusing the son who testified and her younger daughter. Investigators say that they were severely malnourished and lived in squalor in the family's West Des Moines home. Our news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.